forgiveness. And today I want to talk about the subject of preaching. Preaching has a place in every person's life. Notice what it says here in verse number 3 of Titus 1. Titus 1 verse 3 is, I want to speak today on the subject of the stewardship of preaching. The stewardship of preaching, what does that mean? It says here in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. There is an amazing statement here in verse number 3 that we need to understand for this dispensation, this age in which we live in. It says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Let me just paraphrase that maybe in a little language that we can understand better. In verse 3, it means that in this day and age, God makes known or God reveals his word to us through preaching. It is a tool that God has chosen to use to make manifest his word. There's basically only two ways today that God reveals his word to us by the Holy Ghost. One is through your own personal Bible study. You have got to have your own personal Bible study time. You need to not only read the Bible, but study the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will teach you things as you study the Word of God on your own. I want to talk about the second way that he also reveals his Word to us, and that's found here in verse 3. But hath in due times, that is in this age, in this dispensation, manifested or makes known his words through preaching. Or as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The entrance of the word of God gives light, it gives understanding to a person as they listen to the Bible as it is taught and as it is preached. God manifests his word through preaching. Now in other dispensations, in other ages, he used different means. He would speak to people through dreams. He would speak to people through visions. He would speak to people through trances. And he would speak to people through gifts of the Spirit, like the gift of tongues or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. There were times when God would speak to people through angels, through an audible voice, through different writers, through signs, through miracles, through wonders. But all of those ways that God spoke to people in different dispensations were inferior to the way he speaks to us today. He speaks to us through his written word. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, or write it down if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 13, I want to begin at verse number 8. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Paul was saying, look, I'm just telling you part of the story. I don't know the whole story. You know why Paul said that? He died in 67 A.D., books like 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation weren't even written until about 95 A.D. He only had part of the completed revelation of God's Word. So he said, we prophesy in part, we know in part, but, verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Things like tongues and the gift of prophecies and the gift of word of wisdom and word of knowledge, those are going to cease, verse 8, when that which is perfect is come. Now this is talking about the Bible. It's not talking about Jesus. Of course, he was perfect. But this word perfect here means brought to its end, brought to completeness, finished, consummated. He's talking here about the Word of God. He's talking about the Bible. Paul's saying, look, I can only preach in part. I only know in part. I haven't seen the completed revelation. But when that which is perfect is come, when the Bible's finished, when Revelation 22 is finished, and John, the divine, writes the final amen. When that which is perfect when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, all those other temporary gifts, all those visions from angels, all those dreams, all those trances, and so on and so forth, will be done away. We will not need those to have communication from God anymore, because the Bible would be completed. That which is perfect is come. And now we have the safest form of communication. See, if an angel spake to us today in an audible voice, we'd all leave here and say, I think he said this. I think he said this. No, I don't think so. I think he said this. And we wouldn't be able to say word for word what that angel said. But now we have a word for word gift given to us, the Bible, which is complete, which is perfect. And all those other ways would be done away. So don't be looking for dreams for God to speak to you today. Don't be looking for angels. Don't be looking for clouds in the sky. You heard the one story about the guy who saw PC in the clouds in the sky. He was out on the farm with his brothers. And the clouds formed PC. He said to his brothers, look, God's speaking to me. It says, preach Christ. The brothers said, no, it means pick corn. You see, you can have different translations on signs and miracles and wonders and so on and so forth. And your interpretation could be different than mine. But God wants to speak to us today through the Word of God, and he uses basically two means. As I said, your own personal Bible study, number one, and then number two, through preaching. God manifests his Word through preaching. I want you to write down about 4 points today about the stewardship of preaching. Number one is that God makes his word known through preaching. God makes his word known through preaching. Even in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says that he saves them through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching, he saves them that believe. When somebody goes out and preaches, and all the word preach means is to foretell the word of God. It doesn't mean to foretell, but to foretell what God has written in this book. He says he saves them that believe. And God makes known his word through preaching, and we need to be good stewards of preaching time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the New Testament and verse number 13. Here is a church that was good stewards of preaching time. And I'll just throw this out for you. I'm going to throw out a bunch of suggestions here this morning. I would encourage you to have Saturday night be the night that you and or your family go to bed the earliest of all the nights of the week, so that you can be sharp to hear the Word of God on Sunday morning and get a nap Sunday afternoon so you can be sharp Sunday nights and just do your best to be as sharp as you can when the preaching comes, because it is so important, as we'll see at the end of the message today. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We have here a testimony of a church that was good stewards of preaching. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, notice, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word can effectually work in you. This church was good stewards, because it says when they received the word of God, which they heard of Paul, and which they heard of Silvanus, and which they heard of Timotheus, as those preachers came and preached the word, it says they did not receive it as the word of men. They didn't say, that's just their interpretation. That's just how he feels. But as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you. Notice in that verse, God does speak through men, and God speaks through preaching. Another church that had a good testimony of stewardship of the Word of God is found in Acts 17:11. Let me read this. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Wow, we just read their testimony. They did pretty good. But this is Berea. and that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The believers at Berea received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They weren't daydreaming, they weren't tired, they weren't slothful, they weren't lazy about this matter. Man, they were just riveted as they heard the word of God, but then they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They realized that preachers are not infallible. Amen? Some religions teach that the clergy is infallible. That's not true. That's not true. You need to anchor your soul and your beliefs in the Bible. But God does speak through preachers. And then we need to take what they have said, receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, and then search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so we need to be good stewards of preaching and then take it home and say, what did he say? Where is that in the scriptures? Let me be sure about that. In the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, Haggai describes his ministry this way. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Notice that Haggai considered himself the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people. This is just what God has chosen to do. God has chosen to use men today as his messengers. He manifests his word through preaching. And number two, preaching is counseling. Preaching is counseling. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul talked about his ministry, and he said these words in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. See, preaching is counseling. I was at a church not too long ago preaching, and I gave this illustration. I've never given it here. And a lady and her husband were so affected by it. And I said, boy, I better preach that at our church. Maybe it'll help somebody at our church. And I suggested to that church that I was preaching at that every time they gather together for church, they are going to a counseling session. That's what church is. Church is a counseling session. And so, I just want to write on this board up here. I want to show you something. Every time we go to church, it's a counseling session. And she wrote me a letter, and she said, you know, my husband and I were really affected by what you said. And this is what I said to her. I'm going to show this to you in a second here. And this is what I said, and as a result, we're going to start going to church more often. We're going to start listening to our pastor more. We're going to start listening more intently and everything. I was kind of flabbergasted by that because I thought it was a pretty simple truth that most people know. At our church, for instance, I want to show you something here that I hope will help you. At our church, for instance, we have Sunday school. Let's just round it off. Let's just say we have 50 times where we meet for Sunday school. And we have a class for every single age. And these Sunday school classes are counseling sessions. And we'll just call that 50 Sunday school. And I don't know exactly who always is going to be teaching and so on and so forth, but I'm sure they're going to give you some counsel from the Word of God on your age level. A person that attends all of those in a year's time attends 50 counseling sessions. And then if they stay for this service, which we have at 11 o'clock, we call this Sunday AM service, once again, they have 50 more. Then we have services Sunday night, and let's also add to this Wednesday night. And we meet the same many weeks, let's say 50. Sunday night services, 50 Wednesday night services. And we got other things going on too. But just with this schedule right here, that's about 200 counseling sessions a year. It really is. You know, that lady got a hold of that truth. And you know, your life is never changed until it comes under the power of a truth. Not when you learn the truth, but when you come under the power of a truth, that's when your life is changed. And she thought about this right here, and she thought, you know, my husband and I, we talked about this, we're going to start attending more. We're going to start attending on Sunday nights, and we're going to start attending on Wednesday nights and Sunday school, and we're going to try to listen more diligently to what's being said. And I mentioned in that message there that it's probably, now maybe not every lesson and maybe not every sermon is for you. Maybe there's just one word in the sermon for you or one phrase or one sentence and the rest is for somebody else. But the point is, by the end of the year, you've heard a lot of counseling. Paul said, I have not shunned declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. And usually by this point, these people I've noticed over the year very rarely come up to me and say, Pastor, could I talk to you for a little while? I need some counsel. Because usually in the course of the year, myself or a teacher or an evangelist or a missionary who happens to be coming through, we've usually covered just about everything for anybody that they can make an application to their life, and they're not usually the ones that need counseling. The thing that breaks my heart sometimes over the years is the number of times where I'll have preached on something on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or something, and then maybe a day or two later somebody will come up to me. This happens to me, and I try to take it gracefully. But they'll ask me the same thing I just taught. But they weren't here. And I'll have to go through the whole thing with them again. Huh. You got to do that. But that happens. But if you could just get preaching and saying, I'm not going to church, I'm going to a counseling session. And God manifests His Word. He makes known His Word through preaching. And maybe the sermon that I heard today, I don't need that counsel today, but 6 months from now, I might need to draw back on it. 6 months from now, I might say, oh yeah, remember when he said this? This is where we apply this to this page of my life so that it works. It's kind of sad when we see kids go astray and youth teens go astray and youth and so on and so forth go astray and you're just bleeding inside because maybe they weren't in church that much growing up. Maybe they weren't in church at all. Maybe their parents let them, you know, if it wasn't fun, you can stay home Sunday night, stay home with them, you know, that type of a thing. And then all of a sudden you see them kind of crash and burn. And you say, boy, if they'd have just heard some more counsel, they wouldn't have made that mistake in their life. Now, don't get really bent out of shape about this stuff here. I want to show you another truth that really helped me out in my life. And it's this number right here, 168. Anybody know what that number represents? That's the number of hours in a week. You know, people look at you crazy if you go to church for 2 hours a week. They say, what, did you join a cult or something? Why would you go to church for 2 hours a week? Well, let's take 2 hours off of this here. Looks like you're still left with a lot of time in the week. I don't know what God is worth to you. That's something you got to decide in your own heart. I can't make anybody. Now, if you really get a nutcase, he comes back on Sunday night. And he's at Sunday school Sunday morning. He's at training hour Sunday night. This guy spends 5 hours. This lady spends 5 hours. We got a bunch of these crazy people around here. We had a good crowd last Sunday night. We had a good crowd Wednesday night. We had 28 people at the chapel Thursday night. These people are really losing it. Are they really? Look what's left. Look what's left. Is it really that much? Now, then you have the ones that probably need psychiatric help. Let's say they come back Wednesday night. Let's give some leeway here for traveling time. They got to travel to church and back, some of these people. Travel a long ways. The Updegroves over there travel from the other side of Warsaw, and they hardly miss anything. Imagine that. There's something, just got to, man needs some help. I think we're leaning here. People come to everything. What a sacrifice. You know, how can you do that? You need to get your head examined. What did they do to you? Did they brainwash you? What in the world happened? No, I think there's some people that are just good stewards of preaching. I know not everybody can do that. Some people are just flat out sick. Some people are immobile. I understand sometimes people got to work. And I try to be a very understanding person. But you see, it's not that much in a week. I heard a rumor. I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard a rumor that that football game last Sunday lasted 4 hours. I don't know. I didn't watch it or nothing. I heard that thing went a long time into overtime, and the whole thing was 4 hours long. And I don't know about how many shut it off after two or three and said, that's it, this is too long, this thing's going on too long. We got to pull the plug on this. Who do they think they are making us wait 4 hours for a football game to end? Now, we can pay attention to things. Everybody does what they want to do, which is where we need to get our waters fixed. One more little chart here. This is another one that helped me. I'm just sharing with you things. I'm nervous. Here's preaching. No matter who the pastor is, no matter who the preacher is, no matter what church you go to, you're not going to agree with everything he says. Unless you're brain dead, you're not going to agree. And so there's 5%, let's say, where you disagree and you say, I don't think Pastor Cole's right there. He's got that thing wrong. I don't see why he sees this or where he sees that from and so on and so forth. But usually 95% is like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty accurate. He's right on there. In Hebrews 13, verse 22, it says, suffer the word of exhortation. If I could paraphrase that, put up with preaching is what it means. Suffer. There's some things. And you know, it's sad when you get those people, and they're all over this area. People who've heard me say something over in this category here, the 5% where they don't agree, I'm not going there anymore. I don't think he's got a right to say that. And all the other 200 messages, they throw out and say, I don't need them because, see, I don't agree with him on this point. And I don't think they're being good stewards of preaching. See, you're not going to find a preacher on earth, on TV, on radio, in any church where you're going to agree 100% with what he says. It's not going to happen. And I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's the best pastor on earth and the best church on earth and they're having great success and so on and so forth. There's going to be times where you're going to say, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you know what you do with those things? You just take them and set them aside. You know, when you go to a smorgasbord, you don't have to eat everything. You don't have to eat everything at a smorgasbord. And, you know, you don't take your little baby or your kid to the smorgasbord and make him eat everything either. You eat what you can. You eat what you can, so you're hungry, then you eat again. So preaching is counseling. Preaching is counseling, and it has this wonderful promise that the Lord gave us. Listen, I want to read in Matthew 4 and verse 24, he says this, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What a promise. To you that hear shall more be given. God honors those who hear his word. Let me go quickly through two more points. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. So look at preaching as counseling sessions. I don't know why that was such a revelation to that lady, but I just thought, well, I'll share it this morning and maybe somebody will grab a hold of that truth, come under the power of that truth, and say, I'm going for counseling. We all need that. I need it. I go to the Word every day. Still finding out things all wrong with myself. But I need God's help. I need to be changed. I Need God's work, word to work effectually in me. Now in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to notice verse 42. Notice the stewardship of preaching. We've seen the stewardship of preaching in the church at Thessalonica. We saw it in the church at Berea. And now here we see it in the church at Jerusalem. And it says this in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Point number three is continue steadfastly in hearing the word. Continue steadfastly in hearing the word, or what's called here the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching. They were a very successful church in Jerusalem. They had some problems, especially in Acts chapter 6. There was some partiality going on, and there was some racism going on. They had some problems. They had a liar and his wife who lied to the Holy Ghost and stole some money and stuff like that. Every church has problems. Every church has hypocrites. Go around the hypocrites. Don't let them stop you from your walk with the Lord. There's hypocrites in every church. Go around them. But they had problems in the church of Jerusalem. But what a church. They had the reputation of turning the world upside down. They grew to hundreds and thousands of people being converted and baptized. And they sent people out. Missionaries were sent out in Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas were sent forth. Well, they went up to Antioch, then they were sent out of there. But they all began in that church at Jerusalem. So many workers went out from there, and they just filled up the areas of Judea and Samaria and Galilee with churches. They were a church-planting church. They had problems, but they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So we need to continue steadfastly in preaching. Be a good steward of it. By the way, one of the tools that will help you is as we make these available, I want to encourage you. I wrote on the back here, even those with photographic minds cannot remember everything they have heard or seen. It helps to write things down. At a minimum, write down the points and subpoints of the message if given, the verses scriptures referred to, and any special revelations the Holy Ghost gives you as you listen. It is not necessary to try to write every word of a sermon. We have these on the back of these posts. I don't mention this enough. But it says, my sermon study notes, and they're just blank pages here, where you can write sermon after sermon after sermon. I do most of the preaching around here, but whenever we have guest preachers, I try to always have one of these. I try to write out their outlines. And it does my soul good to go back through the booklets that I've filled up and just flip through them and read through them and read the little reminders I wrote to myself of what the Holy Ghost showed me in that moment that I'll never, ever, ever get back from that moment when God spoke to me. And to write it down and say, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember this. And so on and so forth. Work. Don't come with a good spirit. Come with a learner spirit. Come with discipline to church on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Say, I'm not coming to be entertained. Coming to be preached to and to learn and to hear from God. Continue steadfastly. You know, they even had Sunday night services. You know, that's right in the Bible. Let me read this. It says in Acts 20 and verse 7, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Man, I don't know what all that means. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Notice they had an evening service right here. It says, Paul preached unto them, and they preached until midnight. That would be something. I'll try that sometime. Psalm 134 and verse 1 says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Psalm 130, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now let me close with this. And by the way, they met on other days too, besides Sunday. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." We chose Wednesday. You could choose Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can come over Thursday to the chapel. You can go to church any night you want. But this is the model of the New Testament church. And so don't get your ideas from culture. American culture says what? Go to church Sunday morning, 11 to 12. Start getting edgy around noon. Why is he taking so long? We got to go to lunch. We got to beat the crowd to the restaurant. Got my roast in the oven. Why doesn't he understand it's in the Bible, 11 till noon somewhere. I don't know where. But it's got to be in there. No, they went all day. In fact, they had a little mess concerning it. They used to bring their food to the church and share it with each other. At least that's what they're supposed to do. But then Paul had to straighten that out and tell them to eat at home. Number four, most important. Turn to James 1:22, and I'll close with this. James 1:22. I'll close with this point. I do have one other verse after this. Stewards of preaching. Be a good steward of preaching. And here's kind of the climax to the message here, so please get this now, okay? James 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face, natural face, in a glass." That word glass means a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In verse 22, underline the words "doers of the word," and verse 25, "doers of the work." We need to hear God's word so we can do it, do the word, and do the work God has for us to do. Be a good steward of the word. Don't. You know, by 2 o'clock, if I called you up at 2 this afternoon and said, "What did I preach on this morning?" what would you say? I hope you could say, "You know what, you preached on being a steward of preaching, and I saw the importance of it." Now, here's the biggest grenade I have to lob at you today, okay? Turn to John 12 in closing, in verse 48. I said so far, number one, God makes his word known through preaching. Number two, preaching is counseling. Number three, continue steadfast in hearing the word. But then number four, be doers of the word. Not just a hearer. You got to do it. Don't, you know, I can remember just probably dozens of times where I sat under preaching and I was thinking about somebody and I was saying, "Boy, I hope this person is hearing this. They really need it. Man, they need this. I hope they get this." Or, "Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They didn't come today. They'd really need this sermon." We've got to block out those voices. And we got to say, "I need this. And how can I apply this?" And here's why. In closing, John 12, 48. This is a verse that, I don't know about you, it makes me shudder sometimes. These are the words of Jesus, our Lord. John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, I'd like to stick my head in the sand and pretend there's not going to be a judgment. But there's going to be a judgment. And even for the lost, in Revelation 20, chapter 20, it says, "And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life." So whether it's the lost or whether it's us who are saved, There's going to be a judgment day when every one of us will stand before the Lord. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you that day. So I looked at that and I decided one day, I better read through the Bible as many times as I can in my lifetime. And if there is any book on earth that I want to be familiar with what it says, it ought to be this one. Because this is the book that's going to judge me at the last day. And I better study this personally, and I better hear as much preaching as I possibly can. Now again, I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. But you know, there might be something said tonight in the 6:30 service that you might need, that your kids might need, or as a single person, as a senior citizen. And it would be sad for the Lord to just say it through his messenger once and to never get it. And then to stand before the Lord someday and say, I didn't know that. And have the Lord say, you know, the preacher I sent you covered that. You know where pastors come from? Not Orchard Park. That's where I grew up. But it says in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I try to do that. I got to speak 4 times today. And I try to do that. And I don't know what you think about me. And if I'm not feeding you, man, go somewhere else. If I'm not feeding you God's Word, go somewhere else. Find a preacher, find a church that's really feeding your soul with knowledge and understanding from the Bible. And then get into it and get all the way into it. And listen and listen and listen, and then become a doer of the word and a doer of the work. And I think you'll have a good judgment. Is there anything wrong with me wanting you to have a good judgment? Is there anything wrong with that motive? I don't think so. I don't know if you notice it, but I try hard with my sermons. I try hard with my lessons, and I try hard with the things that I write to feed you well. I don't know if I do it or not. I try hard to feed you well from God's Word. So you'll have the necessary tools to live with and to someday stand before the Lord. Have a good judgment. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.